Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen, DAD Vibes, and I'm joined by Tempe T. Wrestley. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well, Luke. Quite well indeed. I'm nothing but a positive boy on this fine Friday. I got nothing to complain about.
I was going to say, we're going to try and keep things positive today because it's been a bad week for LIW, but that's another story for another podcast, I feel.
I felt like it wasn't totally necessary, Luke. I know you're over sitting on a cloud right now with the belt that you didn't bring home.
But... Yeah, I left it at the office. I felt really bad about it. But like, I got home yesterday and I literally parked up my car and thought, I was so focused on making sure I remember to bring my microphone home. I forgot to bring the belt home with me. I haven't been champion for over a year. I forgot what it was like to have the belt. And the last time I was champion, I was at home all the time. So like, I didn't have to take it anywhere. So you forget these.
Yeah, you had to go over to each other's houses and be like, yeah, I'll take that belt now.
I know, it was very expensive Uber rides. It was a weird portion of time for us where Ollie and I basically kept losing the belt back to each other. We couldn't hold on to it for a month. So we were just booking Uber rides back and forth across London. And an Uber driver would arrive and I would say to them, it's just this. And I would film myself putting it into a car and then that car would drive off and I'd be like, he'll have a story to tell, I guess. It's a very expensive courier.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have... Nah, I mean, it's too far of a walk, obviously. But there was the time during the summer when Jeff Hardy, of course, became NXT champion, beating Karrion Kross on Raw, that I decided to do that bit in the NXT review where I dressed up like Jeff Hardy and had a belt that I'd slapped NXT on. I didn't have that belt in my possession at the time because my best friend, he got me that belt for like a birthday a few years ago and everything. He actually ordered me. This is a funny story. He ordered off of WWE Shop. Like it was like a bracelet, like a mini belt. It was like the big gold belt, but it was tiny. And they sent him an Intercontinental belt, like full size, real replica, like by accident, and he just never said anything about it. He's like, well, this is better. It's like $200 more expensive, so I'll just give him this. But he really likes that belt. So it was at some point like last year or a year before at WrestleMania time or whatever, where he just like took the belt home and did a video of himself doing like Jeff Hardy dances with it. And so I had to go and get the belt in order to do this bit. But he only lives like a 5-10 minute walk away. So I didn't want to like drive over. I just walked, but I did have to walk from his house to my house with a belt. And there were people who like drove by who were like, yeah, who's the champion? Go, yeah, doing the John Cena thing or whatever. And I was like, I feel so uncool right now.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You're that guy with a replica wrestling belt out in public.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm handing it over to like taxi drivers in London being like, oh yeah, by the way, I mean, you can see it. I'm a man in my mid 30s. Here is a fake wrestling belt. If you can take it, who is also going to be filming. And like Sidney Frawley as well, credit to him, always got into character. Always just jump right into the Mr. Davis character to be like, I've got my belt. And like when you get the belt back, you had to like take it out and celebrate with it and stuff.
Yeah.
Felt very, very silly doing that. I just had a look. If I walked from my old house to Ollie's flat, it would take 6 hours and 42 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a long walk. London's big. London's real big. Like it's an hour and a half drive, but man, that's a long walk.
It would be a long walk. It's okay. Toronto's a big place too.
Yeah, I'm just not used to it. Like it just seems so bizarre to me. It seems like so alien that it's just so big. Someone said to me today, because like I did my Games Master podcast, because the new series has started. I'm featured in it, and all this stuff. You can see me in the crowd, and it's all new games, Tempest, and I'm an old man. Yeah. I don't understand a lot of these new games. They played a Call of Duty Modern Warfare game. I had a blues clue what was going on. I genuinely found it impossible to follow the action. And the feedback that we've had to it on our Discord channel is like, man, Luke knows nothing about modern gaming. And Luke like, makes him sound so old. And I'm like, yeah, as if I am real old. I'm real old when it comes to this sort of thing.
What's the most recent new game that you really got into?
I guess really got into as a stretch. I played and finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, but I wouldn't say that I got into it. I felt like I was just doing it for the sake of doing it after a while. Like I was begrudgingly finishing it because I was like, well, I've come this far. I guess, you know, I'll try and finish it now. The new Ace Attorney's Chronicles I very much enjoyed that, but I haven't had a proper chance to dive into it. Like I've only done the practice court case. So what is like the last Doom 2016? I think is the last game that I really, really got into and I really, really enjoyed.
It's not that long ago. It's not too bad, you know, considering it gets tough to play video games at a certain point. You know, like I remember a conversation I had with my brother, because he was very much, he has every game system. He's a big old nerd. And at a certain point, he, of course, had kids, and it was just like, I don't think I've played a video game in, like, six, seven years. You know, not really. Like, you play, like, Mario Kart for 10 minutes with the little ones or something like that. You might play, like, the original Super Mario, but, like, give them the second controller and let them think they're playing or whatever. I did that with my nieces and nephews, of course. But as a kid, I was always like, oh, man, I can't believe he doesn't play video games anymore. That's insane. And then, of course, you get older and you just start working. And it's like, man, I really don't have time to be playing video games.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much like I said to Laurie back when we were doing Screen Stalker, I was like, the only way I'm going to get to play Doom Eternal is if Screen Stalker is still around. And I could play Doom Eternal through that. Like, I'll just do Twitch streams of it. It's the only way I'm going to get around to playing it. As it turns out, I bought it last year. Didn't like it much. I'm gonna sound like an old man here. I feel like they over-egged the Doom pudding. Doom is a very easy concept to get right. You get a gun, you see the monster, you shoot the monster explodes. Very, very simple concept. And then you just add in more and more monsters. What did Doom Eternal add in? Tactics. Doom Eternal adds in, like, well, to kill this monster, you need to have this item attached. We're using this accessory and aiming at this specific point. I'm like, it's Doom. I haven't got time to, like, aim and, like, look for specific parts. Yeah. I'm, like, just frantically shooting and trying to stay alive. That's what Doom is. And it pissed me off. And I haven't actually picked it up since. Because that was, like, the first thing you encounter. And I'm like, oh, man, that's a real shame.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you. Thankfully, like, I feel like my favorite game ever only came out like a few years ago. So I've been very much attached to that. And I'll just go back and replay that if I ever am in the mood. But it's not a lot of new games that come out that I really latch on to at this point.
What was
your
favorite game?
Favorite game ever is Celeste. It's an indie game that came out. Yeah, it's a 2D platformer. It's, man, I love me a good 2D platformer, And that, it was like the best 2D platformer that I'd ever played. Just, it was like Super Meat Boy, but with more story. And I really, really loved it. Really loved it. I have two tattoos from that game. Yeah, for the people watching, I got a flying strawberry right here, which is maybe my dumbest and fun. No, that's not my dumbest tattoo. The dumbest tattoo is a stupid jam jar on my arm. And then the feather that keeps the main character calm amidst my smorgasbord of random wrestling and video games and comic book things on my arm.
That's why I'm massively into Castlevania at the moment. It's good. It's 2D. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know where I'm at. I'm just exploring castles and stuff, and I bloody adore it. Might be my favorite game ever, actually. It's starting to become that way anyway. But you know what? Let's get into this main show, because we are talking about video games on the show today, joined by very special guest, our Matt McMuscles, to talk about WWE 2K22 and will it be any good? Here is the show. Will WWE 2K22 be good this time? I am Luke Owen, DAD, your reigning gem, that champion who left his belt at the office. And I'm joined this week, not by Denise Salcedo for the Team Denise Show, because she is a bit under the weather. As we found out, Minneapolis cold weather is not made for a California girl. So she is slightly under the weather and she's not here. Also, I don't think she could give two single Fs about this game. Instead, I'm joined by my step host, the substitute teacher who's filling in every single week, Tempest T Wrestler. How are you, my friend?
Don't call me that, Luke. Jesus Christ. I know the context of that. She doesn't, it seems. Oh, I'm good. I'm now slightly uncomfortable.
You're welcome. Thanks, babe. And joining us this week, a very, very special guest, a huge, huge fan of this man's work. You may have heard him on Talking Simpsons. You may have seen him on such excellent channels as Stop Skeletons from Fighting or his own wonderful What Happened series. Please welcome Matt McMuscles. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you. I heard someone say WWE video game, so I just heeded the call, and now I'm here. And as you can see, I'm a fat white guy with a beard, which means I have a YouTube channel where I play video games. And sorry about that. How dare you? And like you said, what happened? I've covered WWE games before, so any other opportunity to talk about them, especially future ones, I'm very much down for it. Thanks for having me.
Sorry, did you say fat white man with a beard?
Yeah.
You'll be right at home here on the WrestleTalk podcast. right, so let's dive into. They released a new trailer for 2K22 last week. We had planned to do this show last week before all the releases happened. The three of us were going to do this, and we've delayed it by a week. So here we are talking about the new one. They've released some new features that are going to be there. Universe mode is back. My GM is back. My faction, I think, is a new feature. My Rise, which is the story version. Brand new control scheme. This, that, and the other. Tempest, I'm going to come to you first. 2K22, it's, you know, it's a promising trailer, I think it could be said. But after 2K20 and, you know, 2 years of no game apart from Battlegrounds, how are you feeling about a new WWE game?
I don't know if pessimistic is the right word, but I will kind of like reserve my judgment until I see the actual game. I just don't, after... I haven't played a WWE game to own for quite a few years now, just because I haven't been impressed with many of the more recent ones, to be honest. And with 2020 being the last 2K game to come out, that's a really rough last step to follow up on, you know? So I'm not going to be going out and buying this game like day one by any means. I will kind of wait to see. I'll see other people that I trust their opinions, play the game, get their opinions of it, and then I'll kind of go from there. But there's some promising stuff. I like some of the features that they've brought back for this trailer, at least, you know? So there's a little bit of optimism there. It's just, man, coming off of that 2020 is just, it's got to be better than that. I can't imagine it not being.
Well, I mean, Matt, you probably know more about 2K20 than most people. Your What Happened video, I actually checked today, is part 1 million views. So like you dived into the awful release that it was. I actually think it, at one point, and I'm pretty sure this is a fact, everybody gave up on 2K20 so much that we were the top streamer on Twitch of it because we were the only ones left standing.
Wow. There's no greater victory than a default victory.
It's the two sweetest words in the English language. But Matt, like, what were your thoughts on 2K20 and how are you feeling about 2K22?
Well, I'm feeling a little like similarly where it's like, there's been such a long gap now between, you'd really like to think it would be better than 2K20 because like so many game releases nowadays, it's like, were the team given enough time? That's the main thing. Will the heads of the company just push something out the door? Is WWE putting pressure on them to release it in a state where like they don't care? Fortunately, since this is the first 2K WWE game and like a decade that's not released in October and actually releasing in March, I believe, as of right now, which is, it always should have been because that takes advantage of WrestleMania hype, like actually releasing around that time frame. The only reason that I think they don't is because most companies' fiscal year closes around then, so they want to maximize profits like a couple of months at least before that. I am feeling a little bit more positive, and it's based on one thing. It's not based on the modes or anything like that, because they can still get those wrong. They can still all be buggy. What I did like was seeing the control scheme that they flashed in the trailer. And I saw that, I'm like, that looks a lot better. It was like light strike, heavy strike, a grapple button, just a simple grapple button. That's all I want. No sticks, no nothing, just grapple. And counters were done in an interesting way. And I looked at that, and whenever you started a 2K game and you would see the control layout of a controller, it'd be 60 different actions going to every single button. I'm like, oh God, just bring back All-Stars. Please cancel this. Bring back All-Stars. I love that game, and it's never going to be back, sadly.
I had that moment when we did 2K19 streams. We had like Steve from Going in Raw over, and I hadn't really played 2K19 much, and I just got handed a controller and we were like live recording it, and I was like, oh man, I don't know how to play this game at all. Like, I have no idea. And I'd be like, Laurie, what are the buttons? He'd be like, you do this. I'm like, oh, I've forgotten everything you've said already. Like, I am...
That's any time a YouTuber or anybody like plays a new 2K WWE game, they're like, "What? I just want to throw the guy into the cage, or I just want to climb the turnbuckle." And they're like, "Okay, hold start, press select, wiggle the controls." Like, no, but I have to think that again, this will be better somehow. But you know, 2K Take Two, they kind of pushed out another game a little too early, and it was called GTA Definitive Edition. So I know they're not exactly the same company, but they're also the same company. So I think because 2K20 had such a bad backlash, and they just skipped 2K21. Like, there wasn't one this year. It was Battlegrounds, like you mentioned before. I'd be so shocked if it was. It has to be as good as like some of the better ones in the last couple of years. Like, I don't know, 2K18, something around that era. I always forget which one is considered a good one, which one's considered a bad one anymore, because they're so interchangeable with the names. Why can't we call it like Here Comes the Pain 2 or Shut Your Mouth 5, you know?
I think if my knowledge of this is right, I think 2K19 was considered one of the good ones.
I think I'm pretty, so.
Because I think like once 2K20 was bad, people tried to revert back to 2K19, but there was like a tick box thing, right? That meant that you could not go back to playing 2K19. You had to like uninstall it and then rebuy it again or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. That. Yeah. They don't want you playing the old game.
No, they don't. No, play the new one. We've made you a new one now.
You don't like what you think you like.
This one has a new hat. Tempest, is there anything that like sticks out from the trailer? Like Matt was talking about the new controls, which actually look way more appealing. Is there any like other modes that you're kind of excited by?
I mean, yes and no. I don't think that me personally, I'm super interested in any of them, but I'm glad to see like my GM mode is back. you know, the GM thing, because you could basically just do like Battle of the Brands, like, you know, is on Up, Up, Down, Down and such, because we all love Up, Up, Down, Down, you know, and hopefully we can get some content out of a show like that over on our channels, you know. Maybe that's a
always look into the future. Tempest.
I like that other people can have a mode like that, because I know that that mode is very like important to some folk. You know, that's a very popular thing. I don't care as much about it just because, I don't know, I don't have excessive amounts of time to sink into a video game coming up like with the storylines and doing that sort of thing. So I probably won't play too much of it, but I'm glad it exists for other people.
Yeah, I'm in a similar ballpark with you. Like, I mean, I've just had a kid recently, so playing games doesn't, like, I don't have time to play the games. That's why I'm playing Symphony of the Night again, because I know where I'm at with Symphony of the Night. I know exactly what I'm doing. The newest game that I got was the Castlevania Advanced Collection, because I'm like, it's like Symphony of the Night, but they're shorter, and I can easily get through those much quicker. Matt, are there any modes that jump out to you that you're looking forward to?
Well, GM mode being in there, that's great for other people. I'd probably mess around with that, but it was never a mode that it totally made sense to have it. And I don't know when they stopped doing it. Definitely wasn't in 2K20, but I don't remember if it was in 2K19 again. These games are so interchangeable. I would just like to think whatever the story mode is, again, I don't know, remember if that's called 2K Showcase or just call it Road to WrestleMania mode or story, like, you know,
it's been rebranded My Rise, I think, for this one.
My Rise. Okay, that's fine, I guess. The one in 2K20 was so abysmally bad. It was bad and it was good. It was because the all the cutscenes of that, they look like they're from early PS3 and 360 era, the way they render the cutscenes, because it was using your created characters and all that. And it's such a mess. I miss those modes. I know I miss the arcade mode from like 2K, not even 2K, SmackDown versus Raw 2007 or 2009, when you had to collect souls for the Undertaker's soul machine. Yeah. And shit like that. And the mode started in Montreal. Like, you're like, oh, we're driving to Montreal. And like, Shawn Michaels needs you to, I want to interact with the wrestlers in a more like over the top, stupid way. Cause it seems like all the arcade story modes are like, yeah, they have a name like that, My Rise, because I'm a developmental talent. I'm going to put in an NXT, I'm going to flourish, then I'm going to be called up, then my career is going to be gone, they're going to give me a shit gimmick. They should make a mode that's really self-aware. You make a really good YouTube channel, you take all the profits away from their YouTube channel. I would love that, but it's not going to happen, sadly. I do hope, I understand for a trailer they can't show absolutely everything, but I do hope there's like a fun, like arcadey style mode where it might make you do like wacky challenges. Like, it doesn't have to be really long. Like you said yourself, I don't have as much time to complete full games as I used to, because I need to play a little bit of one game and move on to the next. It's the nature of the beast. But I hope there's like a pick up and play mode where it's just like kind of don't have to go through 16 million tutorials. A good example, again, I bring it back to WWE All-Stars, where you just had like a few quick storylines to play. It was like, oh, here's a feud against The Undertaker, here's a feud against Randy Orton, blah, 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 blah. I hope there's like something that's more bite-sized for people that like don't really want to play the GM mode, because the GM mode is so extensive. And I'm glad that's in there, but it's not a mode for me. I just kind of want to jump in and have fun. So I hope there's something that kind of facilitates that. That's not just multiplayer stuff. Like, I hope there's like at least a single player mode that's catered to people that don't have a lot of time to put into all these giant games.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think there is a mode in this that is that, which it's called My Faction. So as far as I understand, looking into, you know, when I was reading about My Faction today, is that you build up a faction of stars from like past and present and future, and then there are like weekly challenges set for you. I think basically just do seasons of that, and you use that to get money and you unlock stuff. It's also where the virtual currency comes in.
I miss the SmackDown Mall from No Mercy. I'm sad that it's called what mode?
My faction, I believe.
If anyone's familiar with OSW, I really wish that mode was called like my boy stable.
My boy stable.
I would love that.
That's what I'm calling my stable. I'm calling him my boy stable.
My boy stable, because like you know, you take this character. I'm trying to think of wrestlers that haven't been released, but it's hard to keep up. I'm gonna say like you get your own losers mode. Like, hey, those are my losers. You take them. You can't have them. They're mine. And you like brand each boy with like your brand.
So here's, I found this online today. My Faction is a brand new mode that's a first time for WWE games. Your aim in this mode is to build a faction that rivals the likes of the New World Order, the Heart Foundation, DX, and New Day. This is done by collecting, managing, and upgrading superstar wrestlers picked from every era. Your squad of stars can then do battle in new game mode and challenges supported by weekly events and challenges. 2K note that My Faction will make use of a virtual currency, but emphasize that it's not required. We'll see how true that statement is when it's out. This is a direct quote. It is super important to note that the virtual currency does not offer any sort of competitive advantage or put players into a play-to-win situation. The items you purchase with virtual currency can also be purchased by My Faction points earned via gameplay. I'm pretty sure I've heard this statement before about in-game currencies, where it's like, hey, you can just grind through the game and you get the points. But actually, it's much harder to do it that way, and it's just much easier to buy the virtual currency. Go on, Matt.
This is the company that also charges you to access everything in the game. There's always that pass they give you that's, what, $20, $29, where it just says, unlock everything. And you have to pay real money. I mean, you don't have to pay, but if they're going to charge you for that, I'd be surprised if I'm assuming this is all the stuff you unlock is cosmetic things. If they're saying that it doesn't help you competitively, then it just must be like custom character parts and bells and whistles, really, right?
That's what I would wager. Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like I've brought Simpsons up in every point we've made so far, but you know, like,
you're ahead of me.
You know, like in Simpsons Tapped Out, I mean, bearing in mind, I haven't done Simpsons Tapped Out in 10 years or so, but like Simpsons Tapped Out, they would do like, oh, it's the Halloween horror piece, right? So we're doing a Halloween horror thing. And you, for the next month, you can unlock these things. But once that month is over, you can no longer unlock those things. So I guess it would be, it's like a weekly seasonal thing to be like, if you in this week, you can unlock these outfits for Create a Wrestler or these arenas or this, that, and the other. That would kind of be my assumption anyway.
Yeah, it's like other PETA, like, games as a service thing, like Overwatch or whatever. When there's like a holiday event, you can only get skins during that time. I mean, that sounds okay, I guess. I don't know if there's much an appeal for Christmas costumes for wrestlers, but
I don't know. I'm getting my Christmas themed gimmicks out of the way right now.
the Christmas monster, or whatever. Who's
the Christmas creature?
The Christmas creature. Thank you. Glenn Jacobs' most iconic role.
Tempest, I mean, how do you feel about my faction? Does the idea of the virtual currency put you off somewhat?
I think the way that it's been described and the way that we've kind of theorized about what it could be, I'm just like, I'm weary of it, of course. Anytime just like the term in-game currency comes up, I'm like, I don't know, but... Again, I think it will depend on how easy it is to grind for things. Because if I can't, I've never purchased coins or anything in Overwatch to pay for the skins and whatever else I might want to do. Because I will just grind for it. And if I don't get it, I don't get it. And I don't care that much. But if it's something like you need to do this in order to pay for wrestlers to unlock, to have in your factions, then I'll be like, all right, piss off. I'm not doing that. And if it's too much of an effort to grind for something like that, like I just want to put Bret Hart in my legendary stable. Leave me be. Let me put Bret Hart in my stable. I don't want to pay to do this. I've already paid for the game. So I will see. I'm weary of it. You know, I don't want in-game currency to just be a thing, but it'll depend on how it's implemented.
Tempest, do you get kicked out of Canada if you don't put Bret Hart in your faction?
Of course. Everybody in the faction has to use a sharpshooter.
I believe that's a bylaw in Canada. I live here too, and I'm pretty sure that's in like that's a jailable offense.
Sorry, I'm just going to highlight the comment here. Where it said, Simpsons Tapped Out? It isn't a game, Luke. Oh, I'm well aware. It was an interactive coloring book that I was paying money towards, like an absolute moron. I used to spend my, like, build my day around Tapped Out, being like, well, okay, that task will take 2 hours, and I do have a 2-hour commute coming up, so I'll set that up now. It was awful, and I really regret spending all that money that I did on it. For me, the virtual currency thing is the thing that gives me pause. Like, I really like the idea of it, but the second you start talking about like in-game currency, and I struggle to buy into the argument of, you know, oh, it's not required. Well, if it ain't required, then why is it there? Like, that's always my sort of thing about it.
It's possible to balance it. I remember a game or two, I honestly forget which one it was, where I was like, huh, that seems all right. It wasn't offensive or whatever. And the problem is like, they can't not have it. Like, every other 2K game has it. Every company has their own launcher, their own online, you know, club, whatever. And it's just a reality at this point. And as long as WWE shacks up with a publisher that does these things, like, it's never going to go away. Like, unless they go with someone much smaller, which, here's the thing. I don't know how you guys feel, but, like, I was really, really into that idea that THQ had towards the end of their run with WWE games, where it's like, switch out the game every year, have your sim game 1 year, then have your arcade game the next. The whole idea was it was going to have a WWE 2K, not 2K, but WWE 13, WWE 12, and then the next year was going to be All-Stars, and then after that it was going to cycle back, kind of like how they do with Call of Duty nowadays. But unfortunately, THQ didn't last long enough for that to really happen. And the very first All-Stars didn't sell like as well, but it's like it was never going to. It was like a brand newish game. And I always think that's a much more interesting way to do it, because I really think there's two factions, as you were, of WWE, like or wrestling game fans that want something that's easy and pick up and play, and you don't have to commit like tons and tons of time to it, versus the person that does want to play GM mode and see absolutely everything and unlock absolutely everything. But I don't think, you know, 2K is going to go that route, especially since I assume Battlegrounds sold really terribly, which it should have. It deserved it. So,
yeah, not great there, but like I'm with you. Like I appreciate the break that we've had. Like, I think actually having 2 years between the games is really, like, it's made me want to play the game, if that makes sense. The fact that I didn't have to, like, play, you know, I didn't have to play one this year and then wait for the next one to come out the next year. So I think that really has, like, whetted my appetite. And the fact that, like, you know, next year if we get 2K22 and if the AEW game comes out next year, like, that's a really, like, cool and exciting time. Like, that's, it kind of takes me back to, like, the late 90s when I was, you know, do I play WWF Attitude? Do I play WCW Backstage Assault? Like, I, you know, you got the
neither, actually. but your point's really strong, where it's like that was the best time for wrestling video games, especially because there was like a new one coming out, like at least two, like a year, and it made each game better. It would inform the other one, like, oh, well, we have to like outdo them. And whatever AEW and Yuke's are cooking up, I really wish they would show a little bit more of it. It's like we got one gameplay snippet like 5 months ago. And I know, like, you know, these things take time, obviously, but and I want them to take their time with it. But at the same time, I'd like to see, like, I don't know, some more screenshots. Maybe I've missed them, but I do follow AEW Games on Twitter, and they never really seem to talk about it. But I'm really excited for that game because I called it, I think. And in my what happened on 2K20, I was like, I'm pretty sure they're going all Elite, Yuke's. And then it turned out to be right. I'm like, it made the most sense. So I'm really glad. And, you know, every single game company in the world that makes a wrestling game is like, this is exactly like No Mercy and WCW NWO Revenge. They're going to be exactly like it. And it never is. There's always something wrong with it. But I'd like to think they're telling the truth this time, and that's what they're aiming for. So,
oh, Matt, on that point, actually, 2K executive producer Patrick Gilmore, I found this quote from him. Core gameplay is one of the major investments we're making in this next installment. We're looking at much-loved previous games like No Mercy and SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, along with top franchise installments, modern wrestling and fighting games to build an all-new philosophical foundation for the game. You're right. Like, it feels like any time a wrestling game comes out, there's always that, like, well, it ain't No Mercy. And if it ain't No Mercy, I ain't interested.
Or it could just be like the first couple of SmackDown, SmackDowns. Like, people still really like those too, because they are arcadey. They're way more fast. But, you know, every time they say this, it never really works out. Like, I think even all a 5-star wrestling, like, when they had their game, was just like, it's going to play exactly like No Mercy. And it's like, will it though? No, it didn't. So.
Tempest, if you were like, do you have like that sort of hope as well? Do you want it to be more arcadey?
A little bit. I don't know. I'm hoping for just like a really good game out of the AEW game. You know, I haven't been super impressed by many of the WWE games. I, like you guys, think that 2 year break between like 2K entries would be really beneficial for them, not only in just giving me more time to want to play the game again, but giving them the opportunity to come up with new ideas and just not put out the same game again, just with slightly different controls or slightly different modes. Like, actually develop like a new game with new ideas and take your time with that. And I like that AEW is kind of taking their time to make sure that this game isn't rushed and making sure that they can put out the best game that they can. I hope that they do that. They certainly have had like good, you know, people behind the game, you know, with the, I think the creative director of No Mercy is working on the game,
yeah,
you know, which is a very good start. I, again, would also like to see more stuff out of them at this point, but I have no idea when we're supposed to even get the game at this point. But if it's arcadey, I just don't want it to feel like a WWE game. I want it to feel like its own thing, you know, like I'm not getting AEW 2K, whatever. I want to get an AEW game, and whether that's different modes, whether that's different, you know, gameplay, whether that's different controls, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I'm not a game developer, but I know that I want something different out of this.
The other thing that gives me slight pause about 2K22 is there's been lots of stories and rumors and speculation about a troubled production, and it's really not been the fault of 2K or, you know, the developers or anything like this. It's actually down to WWE's mass releases that they have had over the last couple of years. In fact, of the they released a list of wrestlers that would be appearing in 2K22, and 61 of them have since been released.
No way.
That's mighty.
That's 61 names that you have spent time putting into a game that you now have to take out of the game. And that's wasted man hours right there. And apparently, you know, like the first DLC package was going to be built around Bronson Reed. So like he was going to be like the star of the DLC with a couple of people around him. And according to I found this on Wrestling Inc. The report added that at least four superstars who were released on August 5th were originally penciled in for 2K22. Due to releases, the development team's Visual Concepts and publisher 2K Sports were, quote, left scrambling for DLC plans. At least two DLC packages were scrapped, have been scrapped over the past 4 months. Like, that is going to be like demoralizing when you're making a game, Tempest.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine putting in all that work, doing anything, and then for this dumb ass company to just fire another batch of people. You know, like, we hate covering that sort of thing just for the sake of like, oh, that's really terrible. You know, I'm sad that these people have lost their jobs. But imagine you've put in like hours upon hours upon hours to render all of these wrestlers to be in this game, and then just be like, oh, that's another one that needs to go. That's another one that needs to go. And seemingly like every month, and sometimes even less than that, you need to do it again. Like, I would be so concerned coming up with any sort of ideas. Like, okay, let's do a DLC package of nothing but old talent, like 80s wrestlers, like, because they can't fire them, you know. That's the only way that you can go about it at this point. You can't work with NXT, you can't work with the main roster. What are you gonna do?
That's why games in the past, like I think it was maybe 2K15, that they're like, well, now we have an attitude era like gameplay mode, because you can't mess that up. You know they can do what they want, and you could do an 80s one, I guess. I would think that 2K or WWE were like, nah, the 80s were terrible. No one wants the kids today. They don't want to play the 80s. Like, you know, they poo-poo that idea. And I guess that's why they did that. And because they have this problem now where we can't build DLC or future modes in the game that are based around personalities now. We have to think about something outside the box that has something to do more with like gimmick matches or something more general, because then we can just swap in whoever, really. It doesn't matter too much, because we can't build it around like an NXT storyline, depending on how that goes, and or just new wrestlers that get called up. So it puts them in a really difficult position. I didn't even think about that, how like they have to plan out DLC packs for the future, like well in advance, and they can't even really do that. And they're already concerned with making just a good game, because they're under a lot of like pressure and under a microscope. And it's like really concerning, actually, now that I think about it. I'm getting more and more negative on this game as this podcast goes on.
Yeah. Imagine you make it through development of like halfway through Smash Brothers and being told like, actually, like half of the characters, you just need to delete them.
Yeah, like, Nintendo's releasing a bunch of these characters. Yeah.
That would not fly, I don't think.
Absolutely not, no. Right, well, let's get into some of your thoughts. Thank you for joining in the conversation. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get in your ultra chat. And hey, if you're clicking links, why not click the one for beer52.com/WrestleTalk and get yourself 10 free craft beers on us. Tomorrow is the last day that this offer is currently available. 10 free beers on us. You've got to pay for that postage and packaging. I think it's next week might be the last week we do this. I may have been lying to people. We may have more Beer 52 sponsorship, actually. I take all of that back. Still, click that link down below, because it's an excellent service and we love them. The Guilty Hat said, genuine question. even if it was good, which I doubt in every fiber of my being and body, do you think it will matter? I know to me that WWE games have been a dead brand for a while, and I can't imagine I'm the only one after 2K20. Tempest, what do you reckon?
I don't know if dead brand is how I feel about it, but it's definitely like I'm not particularly excited about WWE games right now. It's something that I'm not like, oh, I'm dying for information about this game. You know, as far as other games that come out like every year, there are ones that I care about a lot more than this. So they need to do something to get my enjoyment and excitement back up. And I don't know if you can do that right now. Just not that high on WWE and WWE related products at the moment, but I kind of see where he's coming from.
What about you, Matt?
I can't imagine it's a dead brand in terms of profitability for 2K and WWE. If it was, they wouldn't continue doing it, even though the sentiment, but like at fans is like, yeah, it's at an all time low. Like everyone doesn't hate these games. I mean, everyone in your circle does, but I'm sure there's still lots of like WWE super fans that just will buy it every year. We'll get the DLC. We'll get the pre-order stuff. And it continues based on that. But I mean, I remember that time we talked about it earlier with No Mercy and those games. But even after that, on the GameCube, Xbox, and PS2, it was crazy. All three of those consoles got their own unique WWE games. Like WCW is out of the picture, obviously. But you had the SmackDown games, then you had the WrestleMania games on the GameCube. But then those turned into Day of Reckoning, and Xbox got like two Raw games. There's all this options, but they can't do that nowadays because games require so many more people to make, and they only have so many development studios, and Visual Concepts could barely stitch a game together at 2K20. But I mean, it is a dead brand in terms of the people that loved all those old wrestling games, and they just want something that's akin to that, and they don't get it year after year after year. Even when they do get something different, like Battlegrounds, it's just not what people still wanted, and it has its own problems. But I'm always hopeful that at least if not this 2K22 or AEW, there's going to be something coming hopefully in the next year or two where it will at least placate some people that love all that old stuff. But I understand the sentiment of someone just going, well, this just seems like a dead brand. And I have to admit that after 2K20, that it's at an all-time low for sure.
Yeah, I got 2K19 because I was given a code by 2K to play it and sort of like, you know, be an influencer and tell people that you're playing the game. And I was just like, I installed it and then I started playing the game. I didn't realize that the full thing hadn't fully downloaded. And I was like, this game's got 6 characters in it. This game sucks. So I'm a bit of an idiot. But we also got given, we have in our office, I believe, 8 copies of 2K20 because we bought a copy, and then we went to the BT Sport event when they were like launching the fact they had NXT UK, and we got given copies of it there. So we've all of a sudden got like stacks of 2K20 copies in the office. And I think like it had it not been for the fact that Tempest Pete and I have got plans for 2K22 when it comes out, I don't think I'd be buying it personally. But for like work and stuff, and I think hanging out with Tempest and Pete and playing the game, I actually am kind of stoked for it now. And it's because of I'm playing it with friends. And I think that's why. Like if it was just a solo thing, I don't know if I would be playing. I don't know if I would be picking it up. Mm. I will see whether that stands for the AEW game though, because something tells me that I'm excited about that. Eric Metzloff said, not to be that dude, but how do we all feel about supporting this company via the game from an ethical standpoint? Will just be increasing their revenue while they cut staff in and out the ring due to budget cuts, to quote Luke Owen, this company. I kind of get what Eric is saying there, but I feel like I'm on that line anyway, in that I cover them every week. You know, I've still watched Raw. I still watch SmackDown. I'm still watching NXT, you know, and that's, I can make the argument. Yeah, it's my job. It's what I'm paid to do, but we could take the stance not to do it. We don't. We take, you know, we could do that. I'd still watch all the Saudi shows, unfortunately. We just use those options to be like a charity drive. Tempest, how do you feel about that?
Pretty much the same way as you. You know, like I still pay for the WWE Network because I have to, because it's my job. That being said, I certainly don't go out of my way to support the company just because I personally don't enjoy the product, you know, and that goes beyond just the ethics of WWE release. It has something to do with it because, of course, that decreases my enjoyment of the product. But yeah, I don't know. I probably wouldn't go out and buy the game myself, but I think that just has more to do with the fact that I'm not looking forward to the game as opposed to like, well, I can't give my money to these WWE folk. I don't know. I walk the line too, but it's a job and we do what we do.
As Devil Within says, making purchases on ethics in 2021 is completely impossible. Matt, what do you reckon?
I agree with that post right there because you're probably everyone's buying something once a day from a company that's not exactly ethical, but you kind of have to separate whether you feel like, is this money supporting the hardworking devs that have been trying to salvage this? Am I showing them support by buying this? Am I showing WWE and 2K that, like, hey, if you take your time and make a game every 2 years, that's the plan that should be going forward. And that's beneficial for almost everybody except maybe Vince and his profit margins that he wants. I don't know, but you kind of have to, you know, separate whether you want to support their effort of actually slowing down these releases and, you know, you could consume the product that way or, you know, just not buy it at all. And if you're into the AEW game, support that, then maybe, you know, but I understand with WWE standing with a lot of fans around the world right now, if you don't want to support the game, no one's going to be like, no, you should. they're a struggling company. They're really not, you know, not so much. So it just depends on what you value, I guess.
HomerStarFan13 says, I'm super excited for this new game. I'd like to think that the company are trying to get back in the good graces of fans. Bringing back GM mode is a good start. Also, Buddy Murphy is briefly in the trailer, which seems like certain wrestlers will be in it. I would add to that either that or that was something that they had been working on and now are having to remove.
Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to agree. Like, trailers don't get made that day. They get made, like, you know, weeks in advance. So I assume that's why he's still in there.
Yeah.
Tempest? Yeah. I mean, Buddy Murphy was released quite a while ago, which would lead me to believe that maybe you could fix that up. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. I could definitely see them, like, because I remember they put CM Punk in WWE 14 or whatever it was, 2K14, when that game came out, and he was long since gone from the company when that all happened. So I could see them putting a lot of these people in the game anyway. I don't know if they'll just delete them from the game, but the advertising, I think, will be an interesting tell. And if we get another trailer before then, I think I'll be keeping my eye out for one of the many, many people that have been released over the last year.
Vash TS 1984, you know, eventually 2K is going to get pissed. The development cost to mocap and character design is and balancing cannot be a small one. I wonder if, like, 2K are almost just like, okay, well, I guess that's that then. I guess this is the boat that we're in, as opposed to, can we get ourselves out of this deal?
Probably. That seems more like the likely business side of things, where she's like, all right, this business partner that we have is being difficult again. Let's work with it and put the game out, as opposed to like, oh, we gotta find a way out of this deal. I don't know how much that works. Yeah.
Well, I mean, working with clients is never an easy thing. Like, wait, you're telling me that your client has got changes they want to make? Now, what do you reckon?
Well, I'm always assuming that it's WWE that calls the shots about who stays in the roster and who does, like, not 2K or whatever. So I guess it's always WWE's discretion, whether should we keep this wrestler in? Will we get flack for this? Like, should we keep Keith Lee in there? We're probably going to get more people complaining that we're still using his image and his likeness in our game versus being, oh, he's in there, because it's not accurate to the product as of that time. Back in the day, like, they were screwed. You couldn't just easily get rid of a wrestler. There's lots of wrestlers, like, in the 90s or whatever, that were in games but were gone from the company like a year. Like, I think Hulk Hogan was still in products when he's left the company for like 8 months and he's still, like, on the cover. So nowadays, I don't know how it works, but I just like to think WWE's, like, quick to erase all images of a particular talent that they just don't want associated with the product anymore for whatever reason. And 2K will just listen to them. And like, you know, I don't know if Buddy Murphy would stay in it, but yeah, it has been a while since he got released. And that part's weird to me because I remember talking to someone on Twitter and they're like, oh, there's been lots of examples of WWE keeping talent in the game long after they've been fired or let go or whatever. And I was like, huh, I guess it must be like when you said CM Punk was still in a game, I was like, wow, really? With the way he left and the way they released him, that was shocking to me. I just assumed that he was just, you know, Thanos snapped out of the game like that day. So that's pretty weird to me.
I mean, someone mentioned there as well that, like, despite, you know, they may be removed from the game, but the work that they've done, like, I remember, like, back in the day, some of the games you would have like taunts and moves and sort of like the skin, right, stuff to be able to create those wrestlers. So like, yeah, Keith Lee probably won't be in the game, but everything that they've done for Keith Lee will probably be available within the game. Like, if you want to make it, you can give him his exact move set and an entrance that's very similar and that sort of thing. I'm pretty sure in might be the first SmackDown game, like, all the things you need to make Jeff Jarrett are in the game. And like, you can just easily just make Jeff Jarrett if you were really wanted Jeff Jarrett in your game, you would have at it. So yeah, I'd imagine there'll probably be something along those lines where you'd be able to create the wrestlers, and people are very good at that. People are amazing, actually. It's incredible.
Oh yeah.
Cool says, yo, shout out to Matt. Been a huge fan since Bomb Ass Review days. Since you've developed your own game, in your experience, what's the most rewarding and most challenging part of development? Much love and America.
Thank you. Most rewarding thing, I think it was like the first time I held the game when it was running on a Switch for the first time, because it was on Steam for a long time after that. And that's, you know, there's no tactile feeling to downloading a game on Steam. But when it was first playable on a Switch, like a video game console, and I was able to play on my hand, I was like, this is crazy. What a trip. So there's that. And the most challenging thing is, I think, having to adjust to things on the fly. Like, if a decision gets made, there's, you know, a ripple effect, like, almost everywhere. Like, a character design, like, changes suddenly, and all the work, you know, it's a lot like what we're talking about. It's a lot like putting wrestlers into a 2K game and being told, oh, well, they're no longer with the company. So trying to contend with those changes and seeing how they affect other elements of the game, like, oh, we have to redo all these cutscenes now because, you know, this has changed or whatever, and you have to kind of figure out whether it's worth it or not. And most of the time it's not. Like, it's relatively minor thing, and is it really worth, like, you know, adding something to a cutscene just because it's slightly more accurate? Not all the time, especially if there's a cost associated with it. But that was a neat learning experience, and I'd say, if you know, going into the future, making other games, I'd have to be really mindful about that. Like, just be aware that at any time something can totally change, and you have to be like ready to deal with it.
Zephyr, who's been a member for 4 months in a row, well done you, said, hell yeah, Matt McMuscles, my YouTube sub box is having the crossover of the century. Christian said, it's a shame that Denise isn't on the podcast today, because I was ready and waiting at 4 p.m. to make stepsister, step host jokes. And did any of you guys see the Fightful post show on Monday? It was hilarious. Also, Luke, I've now seen the new Ghostbusters. It was great fun. Boy, howdy, did I see the Fightful post show after Raw. Sure. Poor Denise. Like, I mean, I don't want to drag the topic away from her hand here, but poor Denise. I felt like she was being proper bullied by Sean in the comments there. She just didn't understand that there's porn kinks. She did not pick up on any jokes that were being made. I felt really bad for her poor, sweet, innocent mind.
It's poor, sweet, innocent Denise. It's the best way to describe her in something like this. Oh, God.
I actually haven't had much of a chance to catch up on Quizlemania from Wednesday, but with Sean on the show, I'd imagine that was also pretty rife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd be right in thinking so. Turns out Adam is also innocent and doesn't understand the joke.
Yeah, no, I had to explain it to him yesterday on the mailbag show. Yeah. James Handley said, I'm a patron supporter of only two channels. WrestleTalk and Flophouse VOP. I can't recommend either channel enough. I wonder if we'll get a what happened about current WWE someday, how they went from Monopoly to zombie eating The Miz. Jam That Jam and Flophouse.
It's too much of a continuing story. There's no good point to do it other than if AEW buys WWE or something. Like, they would need to go out of business because, you know, making videos like that, it's like you can't do it. There's never a good point to be like, all right, now's a good time. I mean, now could be a good time, but at the same time, it's like more crazy stuff, more swerves, I guess, in the world of business could happen. And I don't know if you'd ever see that. I do want to make another wrestling promotion What Happened episode. You know, Russell-licious, maybe. I'm not sure.
Russell-licious rap. Yeah.
Everyone kind of just goes to ECW, and I'm like, yeah, probably. And a few Lucha Underground suggestions to do that. And I do want to do one, but I just haven't had the time like to sit down, and because it requires a lot more research than say like a video game, because promotions history lasts for so much longer. Like, it could be a decade, it could be just a few years. So there's a lot to go through there, a lot of material to sift through.
I mean, Homestar Fan here suggested you could do one on NXT 1.0.
You could. Like, again, but yeah, it could, more stuff can still happen. That's the thing. even if you're centering on 1.0, like, I never feel comfortable. I'm like, but what if something crazy happens next week? You know,
I actually was like pretty impressed because I was checking up on the 2K20 What Happened that you did. I rewatched it before we started this just to get some notes together, and I was like, you did that shortly after the game came out as well. Like, it was like fairly close to the release.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was a game that didn't really like it. Didn't get much better, but it didn't get much worse in terms of the game's like bad things happening to it and whatever. But one thing you'll notice if you watch it again, that video is all fucked up now because there's so many bits I had to take out due to WWE copyright. They're just like, nope, not this song. I think they hit me with another copyright strike like a month ago.
Oh, wow.
And the video has been out for like 2 years or whatever it is now. So they've picked that video apart where it'll just jump around now. Right. I think you see Hulk Hogan for like 1 second. And I think we use like 5 seconds of Real American or whatever. It's that's gone. And I saw some comments from people say, this video sucks now. It just jumps around for no reason. I'm like, hey, yeah, what can you do? I don't know. I can't stop them.
I was going to say something. There was a music track that you used in there, and I was like, oh, this is the greatest music track ever as well. And I now cannot think of the guy's name. He was the other UFC guy that wasn't Shamrock that they brought in 98.
Dan
the B7. I could hear the music. I was like, it's one of the best entrance theme songs. They should have just put that onto someone else, because Dan wasn't around long enough for us to fully appreciate how good that song was. And lastly, we got from Rio Adonte, who says, part of my lewdness. This is in reference to the MJF CM Punk promo. He says, part of my lewdness, but that promo badly gave me a boner, and I couldn't help but damn near yelp while I was at work while the battle was happening. I'm sure my coworkers now think I'm weird. If anyone think that's a bizarre comment, this is just for context.
Pardon my lewdness. I got a boner for that.
Yeah, bit of context there. Tempest, yeah. I mean, you weren't there for the Punk MJF battle, but what did you make of it?
I thought it was like the greatest thing I've ever seen. I was watching that, and I was like, this is everything I want from pro wrestling. You know, it's two incredible talkers just throwing verbal haymakers at each other. And I'm sure that these guys they went backstage and went, hey, good stuff, man. You know, great job, whatever. But man, did I feel every word that they were saying. Oh, I absolutely loved it. And I love that they were able to blend kayfabe and worked shoot lines together. You know, like they always teach you, it's like, tell the truth as much as you can in promo, so when you veer off into the work stuff, people are inclined to follow you. And that's what they were able to do, talking about all the different lines throughout. And then CM Punk brings up, oh, you can't win without your backup with Wardlow and everybody else and blah blah blah. And I was just like, well, that's just kayfabe storyline stuff, but it all seamlessly transitions together and a lot easier than most other promos that I see these days.
It was the same with the MJF bringing up the fact that, like, you struggle to beat smaller guys.
Yeah.
Like, there are guys that you've had matches with that you've really struggled with. Like, it's all like beautiful storyline stuff. We did a poll on yesterday's show, and I don't know where you'd fall in this, Tempest. Was it better than the Kingston version?
I thought so. A little bit. Just probably because there was more. I liked that it felt really big and special. You know, like that one, it kind of built and we got like some really good lines and all that, but it started off small and got bigger and bigger and bigger. This was just like a 10 all the way through for me.
I think I'm more on the Kingston side of things. Yeah. I just like Eddie. Yeah. Also, this from Tristan said, Luke, we all know your favorite entrance theme is Rollin' You Limp Bizkit Bark. I mean, come on now. We all know it's that. I got to put together the work playlist yesterday for our office. First entrance, Break Stuff, adding onto the playlist. I don't care if no one else likes it. We're going to listen to this right now.
Dad vibes.
Oh, DAD vibes. Absolutely do it. I love it. I mean, Matt, you and I, we wanted to basically just build this whole show talking about Still Sucks. What did you make of the album, though?
Wait, let's just get to where we're always going to go. that dropped on the anniversary that I have with my wife. And I was like, sorry, babe, I'm going away for a little while. I'm going to let me go into a dark corner. I'm just going to listen to this album. And she's like, yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Take your time. And I was like, it's not going to take long. It's like 30 minutes long. So I really enjoyed it. Not every single thing. There's like one or two tracks where I'm like, you could have cut that. I think Love the Hate was like a weird little, there's no reason for that to exist. It's not clever enough to be a skit, and it's not long or it has enough depth to be a song. So that's what it is. But on the majority of it, I actually really enjoyed. I'm still listening to it. So hopefully in the new year, I'm planning to do the Limp Bizkit cast where we just go through their entire discography and like everything in between, and sort of everyone gives their opinions on each and every album. I predict precisely 23 people will watch this video. So,
oh, I mean, 24.
You're one of them, I'm sure.
I'm 100% going to be one of them, yeah. I mean, we had this when we started like our Games Master podcast last year, and we're like, man, this is a real niche within a niche. Like, I'll be amazed if 20 people listen to this podcast.
Right. I did make a video about Fred Durst's video game career, and I was like, why is this video doing so well? I think it has like 300,000 views now or something. And I was like, I just did this. I just expected no one to watch this. I think I made like a few months after, I just made a tweet just saying, out of every video I've ever made, I'm really glad this one seems to have done well. I don't know why.
Actually, I like this. Like Valor says, and Luke is the one person keeping Fred Durst relevant 2021. Never mind, and Matt.
No, Fred Durst is the one keeping Fred Durst relevant. It's all him.
He's always got a mind for the business. Right. I think we are going to bring... Actually, Tempest, do you have any thoughts on the new Limp Bizkit album before we get out of here?
Not particularly. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. It took me like months to listen to any new album this year. Like anything. The only album that I listened to was Drake's new album, like the day it came out. And that's just because it's a capital offense if I don't do that, being from Toronto.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's bring this to a close. Matt, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
My pleasure. Like I said before, I'm a fat white guy with a beard, so you can catch me on YouTube at Matt Muscles. I do lots of video crap, like What Happened, which you've referenced several times. You can also find me on Twitter at the same handle, Matt McMuscles. And also check out The Takeover if you want to play an old school beat 'em up that we made to homage Streets of Rage. And then they announced a new Streets of Rage after we had already launched the game, which kind of took a bit of a wind at our sails. But I'd be really happy if anyone would go ahead. Tongue tied. I'd be really happy if any of you would go check out that game. It's on everything but Xbox, actually. There's no particular reason for that. It just wasn't in the cards right now. But thanks for having me on, guys. It was a real pleasure.
Tempest, you had a new video guide on Parts Fun Known yesterday. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
I did indeed. Make sure you go over to Parts Fun Known and check out the first of what it will hopefully be many video essays to go up on Parts Fun Known. We're increasing the amount of content that we put out. We've, of course, already doubled the amount of lists that go out every week. And now we've got long form content kind of in the same vein of explained and actually good, where we just analyze different things in pro wrestling. This, of course, being the first one. And it was how AEW created a perfect millennial babyface. Some people hate the fact that I call him a millennial babyface, but is he a babyface? Is he a millennial? Yeah, then shut your goddamn mouths about it.
It's his gimmick. He's the anxious millennial cowboy. That's not to do with you.
I don't know. I don't know why people got so upset about that. But regardless, make sure you go over to Parts Fun Known, share that video around. I'd like to get the numbers up on that one. We're looking forward to doing a lot more fun stuff on Parts Fun Known in the coming weeks and months.
In all fairness, Tempest, because no one likes millennials. Like we're the generation that no one likes, and anything that's bad, we get blamed for it. Ridley Scott was blaming us for the last Jewel failing because we were raised on cell phones and all this.
Whatever
nonsense.
That means.
Whatever that means.
Local man yells at cloud.
Anyway, thank you all so much. We'll be back tomorrow. Tempest and Pete will be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review and AEW Rampage review. And then next week, it is business as usual. The Raw review, NXT, AEW podcast, and the return of Denise Salcedo to the Team Danuk show on a Friday. Looking forward to our best of luck. You know, get better soon, Denise. We all miss you and love you very much. And patreon.com/WrestleTalk, because our review of Survivor Series 2002 will be going up probably Monday. So you want to get in there now and get listening to that. I don't know if this came across on the podcast, Tempest, but I'm actually a massive fan of Matt. And I was geeking out a little bit that we had him on the show, because Matt's like, you know, I love the content that he makes anyway. Big fan of What Happened. And the way we actually got in touch with each other is he was on my favorite podcast, Talking Simpsons. But he was actually on their sister show, What a Cartoon, where they just sort of like, they, you know, they look at cartoons from history and do a massive deep dive on the making of it and then like review an episode and stuff. And he was on the Mortal Kombat animated, not the series, but like the animated feature film that they made to like promote the movie coming out. And in that, he referenced my book. He was talking about like this thing, and I was listening to it in the car, and I was like, that sounds a lot like an anecdote that was in my book. And then he was like, yeah, it's from this book called Lights, Camera, Game Over. And I was like, Matt read my book. And so I posted it up and being like, thank you, Matt, for reading my book. And he was like, yeah, that's great. And then he started following me on Twitter. So we've been chatting with him after that. And then we found out we both love Limp Bizkit. And we've been geeking out over that. But like, yeah, he's been on Talking Simpsons, which is like my favorite show. He's also been like, he's friends with Derek from Stop Skeleton from Fighting. He's like the coolest guy. I kind of want to like, now I feel like maybe I could be friends with Derek from Stop Skeleton from Fighting. Am I like, what? I'm a one step removed from it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy for it. I didn't realize that this was such an occasion.
It really was. I hope I kept my cool, and I made him laugh, and I felt very good about making him laugh. I think he might have liked me, Tempest.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if he gets if you get asked back for a second podcast date.
Oh, maybe. Is there any like people that you watch on YouTube that like if you could get them onto this show, that you'd be like, oh man, I really hope that I impress them with like how super cool I am on the show.
Yeah, there's a few, honestly. Jeremy Dooley from Achievement Hunter and Rooster Teeth and all that sort of thing. I think he's just like a really swell guy, and I know he really loves wrestling. Other than him, same way, James Willems from Funhouse, again, is a very big wrestling fan. He's actually done some like wrestling himself. They did like a whole documentary on him being a big wrestling fan and going and training and having a match and all that. And it was really cool. Big fan of those guys. I'm also a big fan of the Cosmonaut Variety Hour, Cosmonaut Marcus, who's also said he doesn't do like wrestling content, but he said he's a wrestling fan. And he's just a guy whose like video essays and everything have been like a pretty big influence on me, you know, just in terms of like style of editing and humor and that sort of thing. And I feel like I don't have the analytical brain for like film and everything that I do for wrestling. Like wrestling to me just kind of like clicks, and I feel like I have a pretty decent understanding of how things work. I don't feel the same way about film all the time. Like I know what I like and what I don't, whatever. But when I can just sit back and just kind of listen to someone analyze something and make me see things that I hadn't seen already, I really like that. And I think he does that quite a bit.
Yeah. I've had this a lot with Quizlemania as well. When we've had Quizlemania guests on, where I'm like, oh man, like they're really cool. And when we first had Alex on, I was like, I mean, like Alex, she's super cool. I hope she likes us. Because if she came onto the show and then afterwards we're just like, man, these guys are dorks. I never want to do anything with those again. I'd be kind of bummed out about it. As it turns out, you know, Alex was super cool, and you know, she for some reason still gets on with us. So that's, you know, it's all very nice and stuff. But with Pooh Bear, and like, there's been a bunch of people we've had on Quizlemania where I'm like, man, like you're way cooler than us. What are you doing on our channel? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, it's happened from time to time, and it's like I think I've kind of gotten past the point of like, oh, marking out, man, for these wrestlers. You know, I was like, it was really cool, like having like Cole Cabana on,
having your Matt Stryker moments.
Yeah, well, this is a mark out moment.
Marking out, bro.
Christ. Apparently, I'm the only one in the office that doesn't like Matt Stryker.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. We're Matt Stryker apologists here at WrestleTalk.
I don't know how this came about. I was told this like on the NXT podcast, and I was like, what have I missed?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, we're all Matt Stryker apologists here.
Oh, Lord. I can't agree. But yeah, like Colt Cabana on and Damo, of course. Like anytime I feel it more at the end where it's like the show's over and I'll be like, wow, they were really cool, you know? It could be so easy for them to big league us and just be like, yeah, it's cool, this show, whatever. But like, I finished the show with Damo and just be like, what a lovely man, you know? And that sort of thing means a lot more to me than just like, oh, I really liked your match, sir. You know, it's just like, oh, you're a swell dude. All right. Awesome. That's what I care about.
What do you got planned for this weekend?
Really, my weekends are all kind of like the same at this point. Honestly, we kind of get together, me and some friends, and we might watch some movies, watch a new show. I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to find time to watch Succession. So I might do that because I've heard nothing but good things about that show.
You're not going to be watching Get Back on Disney Plus?
Perhaps not. Has Hawkeye come out? I don't know.
First two episodes of that are out.
Oh, I don't have much interest in watching that, but I feel like because I'm a Marvel shill, I kind of have to, so I might watch that at some point. But I gotta,
like, you know, you may find that you absolutely love the Beatles.
Yeah. I mean, I can listen to the Beatles. I don't know that I need to watch all of that.
I'm so excited to watch it. My wife doesn't want to watch it, not because she doesn't like the Beatles or anything. She just doesn't. It's not a documentary that appeals to her, and I'm like, but like, it's John. And it's Ringo and Paul and George, and they're all together. And sometimes they sort of find like the breaking up of the Beatles and stuff. Like I am so jazzed to watch it.
Yeah,
and I don't know when I'm going to watch it because it's like 3 hours long.
Yeah, I might take some time out because I absolutely loved watching the Val Kilmer documentary, of course, when that came out earlier this year. And so very much along the same way, like I love watching documentaries about like pop culture type stuff like that. So I will probably make time at some point, but that's probably not going to be one that I watch with the group because the Beatles are a bit divisive amongst this group. I like them. I like the Beatles music, but not everyone does. So that might be on my own time. Otherwise, probably just going to play some more Pokemon. I've been really slacking in that game. The people in my friend group have already beaten the game, and I'm like, I have 5 badges, so I've got a lot of catching up to do, but this job is has taken up the majority of my time this week, which I can't be too mad about. It's a fun job.
It's the best job in the world. And you're the best podcast listeners in the world. Let's see, actually, if any of you have left reviews on Apple Podcasts before I do say that you are the best people, because you may actually, you might actually all suck. Let's find out.
Bunch of one-star reviews.
Scrolling down, WrestleTalk Podcast reviews. Nope, no new reviews since Saturday. You all suck. I've decided now, every single one of you sucks. Do better. Trash people. Leave a review. 5 stars if possible. Tempest, thank you so much for being a wonderful step host and joining me on the show today.
Hate that.
But yeah, no, thank you for being a substitute teacher. So you're my favorite substitute teacher to have on the show.
Different kink.
Yeah, apart from SP3, maybe. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us all. Have a lovely weekend, everyone. We will see you next week. In fact, Tempest will see you tomorrow for the SmackDown AEW review. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.